Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, listening to episode 1089 here at Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week for this episode, we have Paris here. Paris, what's up?
What is up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Just waiting for the launch of Cyberpunk. That's next week, man. Just in a couple of days, man. How excited are you, Paris?
Does it even need to be said? Dude, all right. I have been waiting on this moment for 2 years. So, yeah, very excited.
Awesome. Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait for us to play it, talk about it, and I can't wait to see what type of content you're going to be creating from this game, man. So make sure to follow him on YouTube. Just look up Paris Lilly there and subscribe. Make sure to support. All right, and also joining us for this episode, our friend, he's been recording with us for a while now, a couple times this year, multiple times. We have Tony Polanco from Throwdown Podcast, man. What's up,
Danny? Paris, how you fellas doing today?
How's everything, man?
It's going good, man. Chilling. Get very cold out here in New York, so Danny, you picked the right time to leave, bro, because kind of nippy out there now. You know,
really?
Yeah,
really?
It's cold, man.
You know, I miss us hanging out at Bryant Park, just chilling and drinking and talking, you know. And today I decided, like, let me hit up Tony to see if we could sit down and talk about a topic here for the podcast, and while I'm having a drink. I don't know if you have a drink or not, whether Tony, but...
Nah, just Paris, water. Paris, I'm being plain right now.
Paris, you have a drink over there at your house right now? No,
just water, man. I got kids. I can't be drinking around them.
Okay. All right. It's all good. All right. So first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. And also, shout out to all your Spotify listeners. I've been getting a lot of tweets of people that been getting their 2020 wrapped up year of like your stats of like how many listens and plays, your favorite artists and podcasts. A lot of people been hitting me up showing the image that we're either in the top five, top three, your number one listenings of like podcasts from them. So that's really cool to see. So if you haven't tried to go to Spotify, go to your account and it will pop up there and just check it out to see if we're in your top shows of 2020. So yeah, let us know. All right. Also, you would like to be part of our fan mail questions a segment. Here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I was listening to a couple of voicemails here, and there's one from Keon, which shout out to him. He's always calling us, but this was a really good voicemail that he sent. I'm going to play it here right now, and then I'll explain to Paris and Tony what Keon was saying.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? I hope you brothers are doing great. This is Keon again, calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to ask you guys a brief question about this generation, this current generation. Do you guys think that this was the best console launch generation that we've ever seen? And let me explain. I understand that Xbox, they really dropped the ball. No games. Well, they got games, but y'all know what I'm saying. Not that killer app. Here you have the PlayStation 5. I thought they had a great launch. But what I'm talking about is the backwards compatibility aspect to it. Here it is, even if you didn't have enough money to buy any new games, here it is with these new consoles, you're actually able to revisit those older games if you choose to. I understand some people don't buy new consoles for old content. But just the fact that we're able to get these new experiences off of these games that were older, getting better frame rates, getting better textures and resolution. Do you guys think that because of that, this is the best generation ever and the load time? We really have a certain bar now where it's like, wow, it's really been pushed forward. So that's all I wanted to know. Do you guys think this is the best console launch that we've seen in gaming? Sorry for the long-windedness, if that's a word or not, I don't know. But with that being said, you guys take care, and thank you guys for all of the hard work that you do. Bye-bye.
All right, so very quick. Kian wants to know that if this could be the best launch for next-gen ever for PlayStation and Xbox. And the reason he's saying this, he's not talking about the games. He's not talking about like, Halo Infinite or anything like that, but just more of now we have more options of like more content of games that we probably never played in the past. You could play those old games into the system. Also, coming from PlayStation, think about it. And Tony, you mentioned this multiple times that you have never been a fan of the launch of in the past of PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
It's either their games is kind of weak or, but this is pretty cool. It's Demon's Souls, Miles Morales. You also have Sackboy. You have a couple. Yeah, you could play this on your PlayStation 4 if you want, but technically, like, it's available for those consoles. There's going to be people that are going to be buying either an Xbox Series S or X or PlayStation 5 for the first time. And they have those options to buy those games. Could this be the best for both companies in a very long time? Paris, you want to go first?
Actually, I didn't want to go first because I was curious to hear what Tony had to say. But since you put me on the spot, I will say that I get what he's saying. And I think if you look at it from the standpoint that this is the first console generation for both to where we're seeing extensive backwards compatibility, you know, especially with Xbox, because it's literally going all the way back to the original Xbox. And the fact that the PlayStation 5 is allowing you to basically play, for all intents and purposes, your entire PlayStation 4 library, it allows you to not have to rely exclusively on the launch lineup for either one. So that's a good thing. I think the PlayStation 5 launch lineup is pretty strong, to be honest with you. When you look at the end of the day, we know the Xbox is kind of weak with the lack of Halo Infinite. So the fact that I'm looking at Xbox now, the fact when you can couple in Game Pass, not to mention the entire back catalog that you can play, if you picked up a Series X or an S, you have a lot of games to play. You really do. I mean, there may be games you've already played before, but maybe you might find some old hidden gems that you'd never had a chance to discover before. They're not new games, but, you know, they can still be fun. Whereas, hey, with the PlayStation 5, dude, I can go back and play God of War. I can go back and play Uncharted 4. I can, you know, on down the list of, you know, the original Last of Us, all that stuff, you know, that comes over from the PlayStation 4 to the 5. Then you add in Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Demon's Souls, Sackboy, Astro's, you know, Playroom, on and on. I mean, yeah, I've argued that the PlayStation 5's just their launch lineup is arguably one of the strongest in the history of video games when you really look at it. I know it can be debated, clearly, but when you overall look at what they delivered at launch, I mean, it's pretty diverse and it's pretty freaking good.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I agree. What about you, Tony?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've had like a little bit of a change of heart, right? Like before the consoles came out, I was kind of disappointed over the fact that a lot of the games that we were seeing over on the PlayStation side were also available on PS4. So I'm like, it kind of takes away the allure of owning a new console. But now that I've had the PlayStation 5 for about 3 weeks now, and I've been playing it every single day, many, many hours a day, I'm like, okay, looking at it objectively, yeah, I think this is actually one of their strongest launch lineups. And it's not just because the first parties, obviously first parties are pretty good, even though some of them are on PS4, but got to look at it, right? Miles Morales, great game. Demon's Souls, that's one that's getting a new lease on life. It was originally a PS3 game, now it's on PS5. I'm pretty sure this thing's going to outsell the original by a large margin. You got Astro's Playroom, which is, to me, the most surprising game of the year. I love that game so much just because of the way it utilizes the DualSense. It really shows off what it's capable of. That's one of the games, like, I wish I could, like, erase my memory of it so I could play it again fresh, you know, because it was when I play, I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. You know, then you also have the, you know, Sackboy's A Big Adventure. If you're into it, there's a little Godfall. I have my issues with that game. But outside of that, right, outside of the first parties, you also have the third party joints, right? You got Assassin's Creed, you got Watch Dogs Legion, Cyberpunk's about to be coming out in a couple of days. So if you take it all into totality, this is probably the best launch lineup for a system since the Dreamcast. And we know that's the GOAT. That's the GOAT. You can't top the Dreamcast launch lineup, but this is almost on that level, because if you're like, you know, looking for anything, Dirt 5 is another one. You race any genre you can want, Call of Duty shooting games, Dirt 5 racing games, Sackboy platforming, you know, you got your action adventure games or Assassin's Creed. There's so much out there that you're not going to miss out. And then, of course, on the indie side, you got games like The Pathless, right? That's really, really dope. So, yeah, like, again, I had to just step away from, you know, like, you know, what I originally thought. And now I'm like, okay, I got this new information. And, yeah, the PlayStation 5 launch lineup is pretty good. So I have to say, yeah, if you manage to get your hands on one, because I know some people are still having issues, you're good to go. And like Paris said, you got all the old stuff, right? Right now, I bought Jedi Fallen Order. The game came out last year, right? Yo, I'm amazed by it, because if you have games that are old, if they were running at like uncapped frame rates, they're running at 60 frames now. So I'm playing this game better than people who originally experienced it. Not only because they have fixed the bugs or whatever, but now I'm playing it at 60 frames a second, just natively, no patches or nothing. Xbox Series X does the same thing. It just runs it natively. So I'm like, okay, so you have all these new games. You have like a glut of all these old games. So yeah, you're good to go for a while until like more new games start coming in the spring.
Yeah, I can't wait for next year. That's when we're going to get to see even more games for both consoles, especially the one that I've been waiting for is Ratchet & Clank. That's going to be sometime early next year. I think that's going to be one of the biggest games of like the first half of 2021 that I'm excited about. Like, I know there's also Gran Turismo. There's a couple other ones too, but I think Ratchet & Clank is going to be a game that is going to be a really special game. I'm a huge fan of Insomniac, and they've been on a roll, man. You know, with Spider-Man, before that, of course, Sunset Overdrive, and they also worked on Miles Morales, and now this, dude, oh man, it's gonna be big. It's gonna be really, really big. So yeah, I and you know what, Tony, I think you mentioned the Dreamcast. That was a very strong launch lineup for that console when it came out. Like, I felt like the Xbox 360, the launch was kind of meh, but that generation, Xbox 360 had like these strong games. I think PlayStation 3, it took a while for us to see that, but like the last few years, that's when they came strong, and they took that and they brought it to the PlayStation 4, and that's when you get to see all these gems coming out left and right throughout this generation, you know. But yeah, man, I know a lot of people don't mention a lot about Xbox. I know, because we've been talking about like all these exclusives that are coming out for the PlayStation, but I'm also happy to see that if you only have enough money to just buy the console and you sign up for Game Pass, dude, you have hundreds of games there, including all the EA games that is also part of the service too. Like, I know you mentioned the Star Wars game from Respawn.
Yeah,
that one is also available there on Xbox Game Pass. You know, and now in December, they're adding 60 new games, and some of them that I'm excited. I know Doom is coming out for the PC for Game Pass, Doom Eternal. Also, I'm trying to think of another one here. The Dragon Quest game that I know you, Tony, wanted to buy, and that game is also coming out for Game Pass for the console.
Yeah, Dragon Quest 11, yes. The definitive edition, yes.
And this game is considered one of the best RPG games, JRPG games in a while. Oh,
Danny, I'm going to tell you right now, out of all the JRPGs I played this generation, that is one of the top three. It is up there like that. If you were to tell me this is the best RPG release this generation, I wouldn't argue with you. That's how good it is. Like, I played it on PlayStation 4. I replayed most of it on Switch, and I'm going to replay it again, you know, when it comes out on Xbox and PlayStation. It is really good, because it's not only, you know, not to sidetrack too much, not only is it like traditional Dragon Quest, but it also brings a lot of new things to the table too, that makes it easier for people who may not be into JRPGs to get into. So, excellent game. And I believe that's going to be on Game Pass too as well. So,
first week of December.
Yeah, so yeah, you guys listening, get the game. Trust me on this.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But yeah, from when it comes to that, Game Pass, I think, is going to be really, really worth it, of course, if you just have enough money to just buy one console and not have enough money to buy other games. You have a long list of games that you could try it out. You know what I'm saying? So it's good, man. But anything else, Paris, from that?
No. I think we covered that pretty well. I guess I would just simply say that this, mm-hmm. again, goes back to something we've been talking the last few months. And now, especially since both consoles are out in the wild, you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with either one. With either one you want to choose, whatever one floats your boat, be happy with what you got. Always remember that the real games that take advantage of these systems are not out yet. Like you said, Ratchet & Clank is probably going to be one of the first that we see truly take advantage of the PlayStation 5. We'll see whenever Halo or whatever is going to come for Xbox, but I guarantee you we'll have this conversation a year from now, and there's going to be something out on both of those systems that are going to be like, oh my God, I did not realize this hardware could do this. We're going to have that conversation. Guarantee it. And that's what excites me more than anything.
Yeah. I think that's going to be... 2021 is going to be really, really dope, I think. And now, you know, having, Bethesda coming out for, you know, games for Xbox and maybe multiplat. I don't know. We'll see. I think that's going to be a game changer for Microsoft, I think, too, man. So, but 2021, great year. Can't wait to see all these games, especially Ratchet & Clank. That's a game that I'm hype about. Actually, that game reminded me so much of, like, the vibe when the PlayStation 4 came out in 2013. I didn't purchase a PlayStation 4 until early 2014. And the reason was Infamous Second Son came out for that console.
Excellent game,
Excellent game. I feel like people probably slept on it. Personally, I think it's a really fantastic game.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe I'm getting with Ratchet & Clank. Like, it's going to be like those early gems for the console once it releases, you know. So, are you going to say something, Tony?
Oh, yeah. A couple of things. Ratchet & Clank, okay, my prediction is it is going to be like Infamous Second Son in the sense that it's probably going to come out end of February, you know. Like, it's going to be that gem. It's like, okay, you already exhausted all your games, right? You know, your launch games. Now you got this new one. Just quick thing about the Xbox. I made this comment. I'm not going to talk about who published this, but there was an article out there that said that the Xbox was the most disappointing thing of gaming, right? And I'm like, hold on. If you have an Xbox and you're happy, how is that a disappointment for you? Like, I understand what he was trying to say, like, in the sense of, like, okay, it has no big exclusives. But if you have an Xbox, shout out to Michael Santiago. You know, he's not disappointed. You know, my man's loving his Xbox. And a lot of other people out there, they're loving their Xbox, too. So I'm like, I don't really think it's a disappointment that Halo isn't on it. But, like, if you got an Xbox and you got all these old games that are running great and you still have all these new games, again, like Call of Duty and Dirt and all this other stuff, I'm like, you're not disappointed. You know what I'm saying? So, like Paris said, it's like, if you bought either of these systems, you're good right now. You're good to go.
Yeah. I don't know. That article was kind of weak. Yeah. You could tell it was a clickbait, but think about it. Like, look, I know people that bought both consoles or they bought an Xbox and not a PlayStation, or either way, like, you know, PlayStation, not Xbox. It seems that everybody's happy, man. The day that both consoles came out, that's all you were seeing on Twitter of people that actually got the chance to pre-order or purchase it that day at the stores. Everybody was happy, you know? So I don't know. Sometimes journalists or content creators, we just come up with these stupid type of articles or videos just so you could click it and watch it or read it. And, you know, it's clickbait, you know? I totally disagree. I think you could say something like, hey, the most disappointed moment in gaming maybe is not seeing Halo Infinite for launch. I think that one I totally agree. But to say the console itself is the most disappointing, I really disagree. Dude, like I mentioned, Xbox Game Pass is out there. You could buy the console, get Game Pass, or have Game Pass included into the console, and you have hundreds of games. There's going to be a lot of games there that you probably never even played before, and you're going to play for the first time. And now you could also play EA Play, being part of the service too, and you're going to discover a lot of new indie games. All those first-party games from Xbox is going to be there on day one. Like, how is that disappointing? I don't get it. For me, this was a better launch lineup than the Xbox One launch. You know, like, that one had some some okay games, but we didn't have the amount of access of like games so like available for the console. It wasn't like that at all. Not even the 360 was like that. The only difference was you were allowed to play Xbox, the original Xbox games. So some of them, not all of them, but the ones that I was playing the most was Halo 2. During that time, I was playing Geometry Wars 2 when it came out. It was only $5, you know. But I think this is a pretty good launch for Xbox. Could have been better. It's not better than PlayStation, but I feel like either way, if like you were saying, Paris, if you buy either console, you're going to be happy. You're going to be good, I think. You're going to have a lot of options out there, old and new games, you know. So you want to say something about that, Paris?
No, I don't. No?
Okay. All right.
I mean, there's no really no point to say anything because you said it all. I mean, just to keep it short and sweet, that article was BS. It was just a catchy headline to get people like us to start talking about it. But if you go into the actual meat of what he's saying, it wasn't false, but it comes to stuff we already knew. We knew because Halo Infinite was not going to be at launch. They were going to have a weak launch lineup. Phil Spencer himself even admitted this. So to call it the biggest disappointment of 2020 is just a clickbait headline. That's all it is. The hardware itself is fine. The services are fine. Like I said before, let's have this conversation a year from now. I guarantee you won't be calling the Xbox Series X a disappointment.
Totally agree. So that was my topic. There, you guys have anything? You know, this is going to be straight up freestyle. We have no notes. But do you guys have any topics or questions that you think we should talk about? And we'll go from there. If you guys,
yeah, it's kind of funny because the thing I did want to talk about, I just did about that stupid article. I was like, oh, I got to bring that up somewhere in here, you know, because that was my main thing. I'm like, yo, come on. It's again, like Paris says, like, yeah, we already know the thing could have been better right at this time, but it's going to be dope like in a year from now. So, yeah, that's all the only thing I was really thinking about. Like you said, a little dry right now, you know, but it's also kind of good because it gives us time to just enjoy these games, you know, absorb them, you know, either new games or old games. So, like, even though this year has been kind of messed up, actually not kind of very messed up, it's good that we at least go out on this note with all these, like, great titles to play. So that's good. And I'm noticing even on Twitter, even though there are some BS, obviously, like, people aren't as mad now because they're busy playing their games, which is great.
Thank God. My God. Just stay away from the nonsense, man. Just enjoy games. That's what I did for like, a good week plus. I just been playing a lot of games. I've been playing, you know, games like Destiny, which I stopped a long time ago, but the reason why I started playing it, now all the expansions available for Game Pass, also Tetris Effect Connected. That game is really awesome. Like, I've been playing that, you know, not only with my girl, but also my family, friends, you know, online. We've been competing. Leaderboards reminding me of, like, the old school Geometry Wars, checking out the leaderboards, who's in the top of the charts and everything. Yeah, it's so much fun, man. So much fun.
And that's what gaming is supposed to be about, you know? That's what it's all about, man.
Yep. And you know what, Tony, the game that I think I've been playing it nonstop. I have so many hours in this game now, 20 plus hours now, is Yakuza, Like a Dragon.
Yes.
Ooh, my God, that game is so good. So good. I'm on chapter, almost the end of chapter 9. God, it's so good. It is so good. Have you played it at all?
I mean, I played the preview that we got a couple months ago, right? I played that, but I haven't played the new one yet because I've been so busy with. Cause right now, Demon's Souls is like my game right now, man. Like, I'm just digging into that. That and Star Wars, I'm bouncing between the two. But it's kind of funny because the Jedi game is like has mechanics of Demon's Souls, so it's kind of easy to go back and forth, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've been doing. And then I recently got the platinum in both Spider-Man games. Yo, ray tracing on PS5 is nuts, bro. Like you can see the reflections and everything, like that kind of stuff. Xbox is as well. It's such a game changer to me because obviously on consoles we haven't had ray tracing like that, you know. So I'm like, it's so dope seeing all that, you know. It's I love seeing just what the consoles are capable of at the moment. And I'm wondering, like, what are we gonna see a year from now when the developers really start learning how to utilize them? It's going to be really cool, man.
Yeah, you know what, the other day, right when we got the PlayStation 5, before that, Paris was telling me, dude, get ready, you have to play Miles Morales. That's a moment in the game that Danny, I know you're going to be freaking out once you see it. You're going to bug out, right? So I started playing Miles Morales. By the way, man, one of my favorite games of this year so far. But like I felt like I was back home playing that game. And there's a moment where, and I think Asamiak in Places should show this clip where you see Miles walking with his friend, and you see all, like, everybody, Latinos dancing salsa, like, in the middle of the street. That's like a big festival there, everything, right? That in Harlem, especially East Harlem, it's like that. You'll see on the, like, during the weekends, you see people dancing and some salsa, merengue, right? Like, it felt like I was back home, and I even got emotional towards the end of the game. Like it was just so well done. Like, story, characters, voice acting, like, it was top notch, man. You know, and I can't wait for the future of more titles from Insomniac of, like, Spider-Man and stuff. So. It was really good. And Paris, you were right, dude. Like, you were saying, Danny, that moment, you're going to bug out. I was like, all right. And right away when I saw it, that's the first thing I thought about. Like, yo, Paris was the one to tell me about this. It was so good. It was, but Paris, right? Like, when you play that game, even if you never lived in New York, you felt like,
yes,
you felt like you were part of it.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that's the great part about Miles Morales. Honestly, and this kind of goes back to something you were saying, Tony. I fully admit I was wrong. I was so wrong about that game and just my attitude about the PlayStation 5 launch lineup going into it. Because when you looked at it on paper at first and found out the stuff was going to be on PlayStation 4, you're like, ah, why are they doing that? I was wrong. I was so freaking wrong. And I fully admit it, because playing that game on the PlayStation 5 compared to what it looks like on the PlayStation 4 with the fidelity mode with ray tracing and everything, it's just drop dead gorgeous. And it's just so smooth to play it. Not to mention the story is fantastic and everything. It really just sucks you into that world. It honestly feels like you're playing a Marvel movie. It's like I'm in the MCU. It really is, which is the best compliment I can give it. And Miles Morales, look, I grew up with Peter Parker. That's my Spider-Man. But for my kids, Miles is their Spider-Man, you know, like my son playing it and everything. He so connects with that character, and because it's like he sees himself in that character, and that's why I love it so much. But I got to make an admission about something.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
boy. I have to admit something right now. So first of all, before I admit it, I got the Series S. Kids got it. They love it. It's great. Like, you already knew this because, Danny, I was saying this when I was at your house. But, dude, it does everything that the Series X does, just at 1080p, because we're playing it in 1080p. It's fine. It's great. I have no issue. If I had any knock, which you already knew, there ain't enough space on that damn thing. That would be my only knock that I would put on it, is that expansion card, the prices on that stuff, it needs to drop soon because it's too expensive to expand the storage on there. But that's another conversation for another day. I have to admit something. I have not played a video game for more than 15 minutes in the past week, probably week and a half. Hmm. And that's probably going to continue for another week or so. Bruh, I'm locked in for Cyberpunk, dude. Nothing else. But here's why. It's like even Destiny 2, dude, I'm slacking on Destiny 2. I can't get into anything right now. I just can't, because I know what's coming. And that's all I want to play. I don't want to play nothing else. So it's like, I don't Immortal Phoenix Rise, dude, I have not spent one second playing that game. I will admit it. Sorry, Ubisoft, slapped me on the hand. I know. I can't get into Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I can't get into Watch Dogs. I can't get, like I said, into Destiny 2. I'm glad I already finished Miles Morales, dude. I'm not starting Demon's Souls. I can't get into Sackboy. I can't play anything right now. I only want to play Cyberpunk, because I know the second I do get the game, I'm not touching anything else. So I'm in this weird limbo to where I just don't want to play anything. So I've been watching a lot of TV because nothing I want to play.
Yo, don't feel too bad about it, because I've been there before. When there's a game I'm really anticipating, every game that I'm trying to play before it, I'm like, nah, not feeling it, because that's not what you want to play. You know what I'm saying? It's like you want a steak, right? And they're giving you a chicken sandwich. Yeah. I'm like, all right, man, listen, I don't want no chicken sandwiches. I want that steak. You know, so that's what it is. So I totally get that. And like I joked about this on Twitter. I'm like, yo, when this game comes out, you ain't going to see Paris for like a month.
Nope.
You know, that's it. My man's going to be gone.
Which I'll say this, since people are going to hear this right away. Yeah. When I get that game, I'm going dark. I'm not going to be. Look, I know people might think this is a lie. I'm not going to be on social media. I'm not on social media. I'm not doing, all I'm going to do is play that game quietly by myself. That's how I want to do it. I'm not doing anything online until I'm done with it and ready to do a review. Then I'll pop my head back up. But that's all I plan to do when that game comes out. I've been anticipating this for way too long to not experience it the way I want to experience it. So that's what I'm going to do.
You know what? I don't blame you, Paris. But see, for me, I'm the other way around, Paris. Like, I'm playing a lot of these games because I know that once Cyberpunk 2077 comes out, I'm not going to play the other games at all. And let me tell you, I did play the Phoenix Immortal Rising, I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
Right? That game is special, man. And it sucks that it is coming out, or came out. I'm not sure. I can't remember the date. But during the time where Cyberpunk 27 is coming out too, you know, it's like close to that launch of that game. And I feel like a lot of people are going to miss that great, great game because of Cyberpunk. You know, it's not their fault, because Ubisoft had a date from the beginning for that game, and Cyberpunk been just getting delayed throughout the year, you know, so it sucks. It sucks that a lot of people are going to miss out to play that, man, you know. And also, I've been playing a lot of Yakuza, Like a Dragon, nonstop, and that game is fantastic, you know, and that's another game that I feel like people are going to miss out, man, you know, because of Cyberpunk. But there is going to be people that are not going to be playing Cyberpunk because they're just not interested at all.
I agree. Let me jump on two things with that. So I will play Phoenix Rising, because I mean, it does look like a Breath of the Wild clone, and I definitely want to experience it. But I just know me, and I don't want to half-ass invest into it right now and then wind up putting it down for like 3 weeks or a month because all I'm playing is Cyberpunk. So I imagine probably that the first of the year is when I'm really going to be able to jump in that and start playing it. And I still got to go back and do more Valhalla and all that. So there's a backlog literally just sitting there waving, going, "Hi, Paris, we know you're going to play us eventually." So I'll jump in and play it and start a new year. Crap, I forgot my second point because I started saying that. You're talking about the games. Oh, and then I was going to bring up, like, another game, like The Medium, you know, they smartly delayed until January. I'm glad they did. Dude, that game is going to get buried if it came out. It was coming out the same time as Cyberpunk. It would have been buried. Yeah. So they were very smart to delay until January. And then one final thing on Cyberpunk for me, because I was talking about this on social media the other day, and this, I'm one of, you just mentioned this, Danny. That game is not going to be for everyone. Cyberpunk is not going to be perfect. It will, I promise you, it will have bugs. It will have flaws. The story ain't going to go the way that you think. Something with the gameplay you're not going to like. There will be things about the game that you don't like. And I know it's super popular. I know I talk about it all the time, and, you know, there's all this hype, but it's okay if it's not for you. Like Mandy, as an example, has made it crystal clear. It ain't for her. She ain't playing it. And that's okay. I call it the Phantom Menace syndrome. When The Phantom Menace came out, that movie's terrible. But I convinced myself that it was good. I tricked myself into thinking it was good. It had to be, because it was Star Wars, right? So I think people, I hope people don't do that with Cyberpunk, where they're not liking it, but they basically force themselves to play it because they think that they have to because everyone else says it's fun. Don't play it if it's not for you. Go play something else. That's the great thing about gaming. There's going to be a ton of different genres, ton of different game types that you can go play that you can enjoy. Don't go play this one just because it's the new hotness right now. Because I'll tell you another thing, and I've said this a million times, it ain't Grand Theft Auto. It's an RPG. People need to understand that going in. This is a hardcore RPG that just so happens to be in first person mode in an open world, but it's not Grand Theft Auto. So, like I said, I hope people just enjoy it if they want to enjoy it, but if you don't, that's okay too. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be for everyone.
Yeah. Tony, are you planning to play Cyberpunk at all or what?
Yeah, but I'm going to wait until I can build a new PC because I need that 3080 card. I need to play this game with everything, you know, ray tracing, 60 frames a second, 4K. I need all that. So I'm going to hold off, you know. Like, originally I wasn't too, like, interested because I'm just not a fan of the Cyberpunk genre. I feel it's too depressing. I like my sci-fi more hopeful, like Star Trek. But seeing some of Paris's videos, seeing some of these, like, you know, just the the graphical fidelity. Like, yo, no, no, I need to play this game. I think this is going to be this generation's Witcher, right? I missed out on The Witcher 3. I don't want that to happen again with Cyberpunk. So I'm going to play, but I just want to have the right, you know, the right tools to play. So whenever that 3080 becomes available, you know, that's when I'm going to jump in, build a new PC, and I'll be straight for like a whole generation when it comes to third-party games on PC. That game's going to be ridiculous, man. Like, I don't even care if the combat is whack or whatever, because I know CD Projekt Red games get accused of having whack combat. I don't care. Like, I just want like something that I could show off to people, like, yo, look at the graphics on this game. Look at this joint on my LG CX, man. This joint is fire, son. Like, that's what I want, you know?
But Tony, I don't know if you've seen the video for Xbox and also for PlayStation of Cyberpunk. It looks ridiculous. It looks really good. Even if you have the previous console, it looks good too. You know?
Oh, so, yeah, no, it does. But like, I want to know, like, for a fact, I have the most powerful version. I know that sounds kind of petty over, but I just want, because I know the next gen versions are coming for both consoles. I'm pretty sure they're gonna look fantastic, but I need that upper echelon graphics, man. I need it all. You know, I don't want to skimp.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you with that, man. So, all right, anything else? Anything else, guys?
No, man, like I said, man, just keep it gaming, people. There's too many good games out there right now for you to be bickering on social media. Stay off social media. Spend less time on social media. Spend more time gaming. That's all I got to say to people, man.
Yeah, definitely. And look, man, like now I know the Game Awards is coming up very, very soon. I want to have an episode with P in Paris on Sunday. Just talk about who our prediction, who we think is going to win.
I don't want to do that.
You don't?
No.
Why not? We did that last year.
Really? Really? You want to go through the list and say who you want? Look, Ghost of Tsushima is the game of the year. There, done. I already did it.
Really? You think Ghost of Tsushima is going to win?
It should. It won't, but it should.
It's not going to win. I predict it's either going to be Animal Crossing or Last of Us.
It's going to be that's what I think. It's going to be Last of Us 2.
I hope it's Animal Crossing, just to prove a point that you don't need a AAA game to be a game of the year. Like, it's similar to, remember when The Walking Dead season one
game of the year? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That was like, to me, that game, the impact that game had, like, especially the ending, that was special, you know? And you don't need a huge game like The Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, like that to be a game of the year. There could be games with a smaller budget that is just impactful, and it could be big for the year, you know. And honestly, Animal Crossing has the most sales of any game this year that came out this year in 2020. That thing has like 22 plus million copies already sold for the Switch. Freaking insane, you know. So that's what I think is going to be Animal Crossing. But I think Ghost of Tsushima might win over The Last of Us, in my opinion. I think so.
So, yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm not really interested in, I mean, like, my podcast, we're going to do a live stream of it, but personally, it doesn't matter. The other thing I want to tell people, yo, no matter what wins or loses, it doesn't matter. What matters is the games you like. What is your personal game of the year? It shouldn't matter what other people say. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, Ghost of Tsushima's game of the year, nothing's taken that away from it. You know what I'm saying? So,
of course, that's
what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah. And I'm probably going to stream by myself, you know? Paris is going to be busy. He's going to be busy. So I'm doing my own live watch party of the Game Awards next week. But see, I have to like fix this thing up over here. So it's going to be
there
fun.
There you go, man.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here because we have to go here. We want to head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio, subscribe. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Tony, very quick, mention where people could listen to your podcast and also follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow me at, well, the podcast, follow, we're a Throwdown Show. We're on Twitch, YouTube, and any podcast app on the planet, you know, and just go to throwdownshow.com. All the past episodes are there. And to follow me, you can check me out on Twitter. That's at RomuDeth. That's RomuDeth. And in my bio, you're going to see links to all the places I write for, PC Mag, Laptop Mag, Tom's Guide. And you're also going to see links to Throwdown, which is at Throwdown Show on Twitter.
Yeah, if you want to have a conversation or some, or you want to see some drama, make sure to follow Tony. And you, he retweets a lot of funny tweets there, man.
Yeah, man. There you go.
There you go. All right. So, Paris, anything else? We're going to wrap it up here. We're good?
He said he had to go.
Oh, he had to go. Okay, we're good. All right. So we're going to be out. And until next time, peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.